WPR and Public Radio is supported by the Built on Dreams Media Network and from listeners like you. Thank you.
Liz McGovero, welcome. Kate Conti is your main protagonist. Yes, you write that you answered to both names. How'd that come about?
Kate Conti is not a character. She's my pen name. So I write three different series. One series is under Liz McGovero, and the other two series are under the name Kate Conti. That occurred because, so I had my first series. I was asked to write a different series for a different publisher. So they had wanted a different name when they signed me.
You are a best-selling author of three mystery series. Do I understand that you're under contract with these people?
Yes. So back when I was starting out, I got my first contract in 2011. When I was getting started, self-publishing and hybrid publishing did not have the clout that it has today. It was a very different world. Traditional publishing was the only option, the only respected option. I have a friend who started self-publishing around the same time I got traditionally published. She's doing amazingly well for herself. She pushed through all the naysayers, and I think that's amazing. Back then, for me, it was the right thing to do to go the traditional route. Today, it's just a very different world. There's so many different options for people and so many ways in to publishing. Traditional publishing can be challenging. It can be challenging to get in, it can be challenging to stay in. I think the more options that people have, the better.
In your bio, you say murder and mayhem are your sweet spot. Where did this come from?
I was always one of those weird kids that I was very fascinated with crime and serial killers, Freddy Krueger and all the horror, scary things. My grandfather, he was a detective. He was retiring right when I was pretty young. But he would tell stories about his work. He would tell age-appropriate stories about his work to me because I was always really interested in it. And he was a great storyteller. So I think the combination of what he did for a living, the way he told a story, I think it really just sparked something. I was really drawn to crime and the why people did what they did. Not so much the actual act. I mean, sure, it's interesting, but that's not the whole story. It's really fascinating to figure out what would drive someone to kill another person.
This is not just your sweet spot, but you really enjoy writing it.
I do. It's fun. It helps me get a lot of frustrations out without actually doing anything I could go to jail for. So.
Then you say you'd lost your creative mojo. And so began the long process of creative recovery. Spent the next 17 years unlearning all the limited beliefs and stories holding me back. And then I found my way to writing success. Let's talk a little bit about that. What happened? What was it that drew you back?
I always knew that I wanted to write from when I was very little. And I always wrote something. I had day jobs that involved writing. I was also a reporter for a while. I worked in corporate communications. So I always had some level of writing in my life. And I was always working on my own ideas and my own stories. I wasn't getting anywhere. So even though I was doing the act, I wasn't making anything of it. I was finding myself with less time, less energy, less enthusiasm. And then I picked up The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. And I started working through the exercises, which are really self-reflective and a lot of inner work. And they make you really look at the things that you've been taught and that you have started to believe that can kind of take you away from that creative path. It could be just as simple as, you know, your dad saying you, hey, that's great that you want to be a writer, but you should have a plan B just in case that doesn't work out, because that doesn't really work out for most people. And then you internalize that and then you start to believe it. And then you go out and you get the plan B and you forget about plan A. And plan A could have worked out really well if you had given it a chance. That was kind of the journey that I went on to get back to what I really loved and believed that I could do with my life.
What was your first published novel?
My first published novel was called Needing to Die. It was the first in the Positively Organic series.
Was there any particular book that really got you motivated?
So I was a big reader, always reading a lot of the books that were really helpful. Self-reflection perspective was really, really helpful. Elizabeth Gilbert has been an inspiration to me forever. You know, her book, Big Magic, about creativity was one of the best books ever written. So I think it's a combination of things. And I think writers have to be big readers. And I think every book you read sort of helps you along your path.
Richard Bach, the author of Jonathan Livingston Seagull, owns this quote, which I think is relevant to your journey as an author. What's the difference between a writer and an author?
I don't know.
An author is a writer that didn't quit.
Oh, yes, I have heard that. Yep.
When I first heard that, I was so bowled over, which brings me to, what was your path to publication?
I probably decided when I was 7, 8, 9 years old that I was going to be an author because I was such a reader. I loved books. I used to sit at my mother's old typewriter and type out chapters of her books just to see what it felt like. And then college, and I focused on writing. I went to grad school and I focused on writing, creative writing and publishing. And when I got out of grad school, I decided to focus on crime because I was kind of, I need to write some mystery books. So then I started looking into mystery conferences and trying to connect with other mystery writers, started expanding my network in that area. From there, I joined Sisters in Crime, which is an international group that supports all writers, but mainly women. I joined a chapter, and then an opportunity arose where an agent had reached out to this chapter president and asked for any writers that might be looking to work on proposals with him. So I was one of the ones who responded. We talked, I wrote him a proposal, and he sold it a month later. I like to say that after 10 years of trying on my own, writing and editing and pitching and conferences and all the things, it kind of happened overnight.
You were an overnight success.
10 years later, yep.
Tell me about your writing process. Outline, organic, are you very meticulous in your research, or do you do it on the fly? Are you a planner?
I never thought of myself as a plotter. I used to just kind of sit down and start writing. And then when you have a contract and a deadline, that doesn't always work. So, especially if you get off track. So what I found, but I had written myself into a pretty big corner and I needed some help getting out of it. A friend of mine sat down with me and we did a little plotting exercise. Actually, it was a big plotting exercise. It was really helpful to me. Like, I've had to write outlines before for editors, but it did give me a roadmap. And when I didn't have that roadmap, what I found was you could easily just go off track. So I started instituting before every book, a plotting session with this friend, just to kind of get the basic points down that I needed to hit and kind of flesh out some of the details. And that gave me enough to get started. And if I needed another jolt, I'm lucky to have friends like that who will go back and forth, ask questions and help you kind of flesh things out. I have tried to become more of a plotter in that sense.
What have you found to be the most challenging writing in your genre?
That's a good question. Writing anything is hard. You have to love it. You have to work at it. You have to be committed to it. I think in the cozy mystery genre, you know, sometimes they can be overlooked as books that aren't as meaningful as perhaps other books in the mystery genre, which I think is a mistake and a miss, right? Because they're just as hard to write. They're just as intricately plotted. They're about something just as much as a different type of mystery book. I think that can be a challenge that a lot of cozy writers face, not being taken seriously.
You also bill yourself as a creativity coach. What's that all about?
When I think of creativity coach, it's not just about writing a book. It's about finding your way back to a creative practice. So a lot of the inner work that I talked about before, the things that are blocking you and maybe holding you back and keeping you from exploring your creativity or actually reaching some kind of creative project that you've always wanted to do. Figuring out how to get yourself to a point where you can create and then establishing a foundation that you can come back to anytime you want to write something. Getting mindfulness and meditation and the ability to be in nature and to really download what you're trying to create from. I know this is a little woo-woo, but teaching that mindful foundation that will help you stay out of your head in your creative process and able to get the answers that you need without having the world kind of block that from you.
Do you learn anything as you think about the fact that you're teaching others to think creatively?
Absolutely. And I learned something from everyone that I work with and learn something new about myself, learn about a different challenge that people are having. And yeah, I mean, I think helping other people get to where they want to be in an easier way than I did, because I wasted a lot of time. Like I said, I mean, I was always writing something, but I was spinning my wheels a lot of the time. And I could have played a lot bigger in my own life. And if I can help someone play bigger in their life earlier and faster than I did and really feel that sense of accomplishment and achievement, totally, I love it.